Feels good. Feels good. It's just good to be all together as one. We know that some are still coming in, and that's okay. We are having a children's Bible hour for those parents that have kids ages, I think, 6 through 11 or so across the street. I have a question for you this morning. Do you love God? I really love the Lord. If you love him, sing it. Well, I really love the Lord. And you don't know what it's done. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, he gave me
the victory.
And that's why I love. Visiting with us here at the Fairwater Church, you're truly, truly honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship this morning. This is our fifth Sunday worship there. Each month that has five Sundays, we have one combined worship, and so if you have a seat between you somewhere, a couple of seats between you, if you're on the end, if somebody needs to sit down, please slide in and be cordial and kind and let everybody sit down as individuals come in. We normally have two services, one at 8 o'clock, one at 11:15, Bible class in between, but each of the months that have five Sundays, we have one combined service. We are trying our best, very best, to reach out not only in this community to bring those who are seeking God, whatever color they might be. And we are trying our best to minister to all people of the community of the city of Houston. Some people are in transition coming to Houston. We have a Spanish worship service also that takes place each and every Sunday. And we're together today. I'm going to ask our minister, our Spanish minister, Brother Gerby Aguirre, to come and have a word of prayer in Spanish for us this morning. And Brother Ray Wilkerson, who is our assistant minister and also teaches our Spanish class on Mondays. If you like to learn Spanish, Brother Ray does a wonderful job teaching that class. And he's also the assistant minister and just does a multiplicity of things for the church. He's going to interpret as Brother Gerby, if you'll come and have a word of prayer. And some of you that don't know Spanish, act like you know it while he's praying. But Brother Ray, Brother Ray is going to interpret for us, and I think it's beautiful. Thank you, Brother Gerby. You can stay in your seats.
Vamos a orar.
Let's pray.
Santo Padre.
Holy Father.
Nuestro único Dios verdadero.
Our only true and living God.
Te damos gracias en esta mañana.
We give thanks this morning.
Por esta reunión de estar juntos los hermanos de habla inglés con los hermanos.
For this gathering together for those who speak English and Spanish together.
Yes, so.
Estamos aquí porque te amamos, Padre.
We're here because we love you, Father.
Yes.
Queremos hacer tu voluntad.
We want to do your will.
Queremos nuestra salvación.
We want our salvation.
Que es a través de tu Hijo Jesucristo.
That's from your Son, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Gracias, Dios.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Gracias por tu Hijo Jesucristo, quien murió por nosotros.
Thank you for your Son who died for us.
Gracias, Señor, por tu iglesia aquí en Fifth Ward.
Thank you for the church that meets here in Fifth Ward.
Gracias por nuestros elders, nuestros ancianos.
We thank you, Father, for our elders.
Nuestros diáconos.
For the deacons.
Nuestros miembros.
For each member.
Gracias, Padre, por los hermanos de edad grande que tenemos entre nosotros.
Thank you, Father, for the brothers that you've given between us, among us.
Gracias por nuestros jóvenes que hay con nosotros.
We thank you for the young people that are among us.
Gracias por los niños que están con nosotros.
We thank you for the little babies among us.
Señor, te amamos y queremos servirte.
Father, we love you and we just
yes,
want to serve
do.
You.
Yes, Father.
Te pedimos que nos perdones si hemos cometido pecado contra de ti.
We ask you to please forgive us of the sins that we've committed among you.
Señor, tú sabes nuestras necesidades que hay en tu iglesia.
Father, you know what the family of God here needs.
Tenemos necesidades de salud.
We need health.
Necesidades económicas.
We need finances.
Y necesidades familiares.
We need our friends and our family.
Ayúdanos, Señor, a que las cosas se hagan bien.
Help us, Father, that all may continue to go well.
Confiamos en ti, Padre.
Our faith is in you, our Father.
Tú eres nuestro único Dios verdadero.
You're the only true and living God.
Yes.
Señor bendito, tenemos visitantes en esta mañana.
Holy Father, visit and come and be among us this morning. And thank you for our visitors.
Te pedimos que los bendigas.
We ask for them a blessing.
Que les abra el entendimiento.
And pray for their understanding.
Que ellos puedan entender tu palabra tal cual es.
That they might be able to understand your holy word.
Y que ellos
and that they
necesitan ser salvos.
And that they that need to be saved.
Te pedimos para que tu palabra les ayude.
We pray, Father, for your word to help.
A que ellos sean salvos.
That they might, and or, that
Señor,
they might
quédate con nosotros
saved.
Hoy y siempre.
And that they might be among us, one with us forever.
En Cristo Jesús oramos.
In Christ Jesus' name we do pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Gerby. If you'll meet with me this morning in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. The book of Matthew, chapter 13. Everybody's all right this morning?
Yes.
Good, good, good. Beautiful day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. I want to make some kingdom points this morning. The book of Matthew. So you need your Bibles, or please pay attention to the passages that's on the screen. This gospel book of Matthew primarily about the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the message of Jesus. In this particular chapter, there are eight parables recorded, and they all relate to the kingdom. The kingdom, a parable, a story. Jesus used this method to relay divine messages that were of eternal importance to the hearers then and to hearers today. The point is frequently argued and discussed. Is the kingdom and the church the same? Is the kingdom and the church the same? And this is not a lesson to spend the whole lesson on that particular issue or question, but know this, that not every time the word kingdom is used in it in the Bible does it refer to the church. But if you are in the church of Christ, the church that belongs to God, you are in his kingdom. And that's the point that you definitely need to remember. There are instances that the word kingdom is used that it refers to the earthly realm. And in 1 Kings 2 and 12, when Solomon sat on the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was established greatly, the scripture says, is that Solomon had a kingdom, a territorial earthly kingdom, but that's not the kingdom you need to be worried about. That's over and done with and gone, and you're not a part of that kingdom. Jesus, when he preached in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 17, and from this time began, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was Jesus' message. And he preached to the people, and he said, "Listen, you need to repent. You need to turn from your ways, turn from your sins, your thoughts, and get yourself ready, because the kingdom is very near." And that's what he said when he was on this earth. And then he taught a lot of lessons that pertain to this kingdom. Now, you remember the prayer that Jesus prayed, and he taught his apostles, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." Now, the kingdom had not, what he was referring to, had not arrived yet, but it was right behind him. And he said, "Thy kingdom come." So what is this kingdom we're talking about? You need to be interested in that kingdom this morning. Now there is instances, for instance, where the word kingdom is used. It's talked about the heavenly kingdom, the heavenly realm of the kingdom. You know the passage, Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father." Now, just because you say church, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I'm blessed and highly favored, that's good that you say it, but you got to do more than just say it. Amen. To enter this kingdom that we're talking about. Whether you're young and old, if you understand, it's more we have to walk our talk. Is what Jesus is saying, and that goes for those that's in the church right now, that's in the church of Christ. You're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, but you still got to be striving to live for God. Yes, and so we haven't arrived yet in the heavenly realm of the kingdom. And then really the whole world is God's kingdom, because he has dominion. A king has dominion. The whole world, go to Psalms chapter 145 and verse 13. Psalms 145, 13. "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations," as the psalmist writes. And he says, "Lord, your kingdom, it lasts forever. Your dominion, where can you go that God is not? Where can you run? Where can you hide that God does not have dominion over?" And so don't get caught up on some things that you really have the answer to. Just live right in the church of Christ, and you are in his kingdom. And when you die, if you don't die in your sins, you go to the heavenly kingdom. Amen, amen, somebody. Now, notice this. Notice these kingdom points that he brings up in Matthew chapter 13. He talks about all these. I wish I had time to go over all of them. The brother read one in your hearing that we're going to kind of focus on. But the first parable that Jesus gives is Matthew 13 in chapter 3, verse 3 through 9. It's the parable of the saws. Some of you that read your Bibles, you know about this. It's the parable of the saws. He says, there's this wayside saw, there's this stony saw, there's this saw that has thorns, and then there's the good saws. I got a question this morning. Do you know which saw you are? You see, it's a parable, but it has this, it relates to us. And see, and he says, I'm not focusing that so much on that one, but he says the seed is the word of God. The seed, he sows the seed on this soil, and we are the soil. But one thing that's interesting on this particular parable, all of these individuals heard the word of God, the same word, the same gospel. I'm going to extend the invitation right at the end of this lesson, and it will give someone an opportunity. If they want to be in the kingdom, they can. And it's amazing how you can preach the word and it falls on ears, sometimes we hear different things. Sometimes we hear the same thing, but if you don't watch out, if you're in the kingdom, even when you hear the word and get excited about it, the devil will choke it out of your life. Yeah. He'll choke it out of your mind. Or we get caught up in the cares of this world. And I know if I ask everybody to raise your hand this morning, if you got some cares that you're concerned about right now, the whole place would have our hands. Notice this. Everybody has cares. Everybody has issues. Everybody has something going on. Don't think it's just you by yourself. But what you want to do is stay in the kingdom. Then he said the good soil will bring forth fruit. And that's what we want to be, is this good soil. That was the first parable. In the second, the next two parables, they simply show that in the kingdom, there's going to be a mixture of good and bad in the kingdom, in the church to judgment. That's the parable of the tares. A brother read in your hearing a few moments ago, and the wheat, if you will, and the tares and the net that's cast out, it catches all kinds. As right now, today, we all look cute and kind of, all of us look nice. You really do. We look good, but we can't tell what's on the inside from what's on the outside. Amen? Yeah, and in here right now, God wants, in God's kingdom, He wants everybody in the world to be in his kingdom. Amen. And he can't, I know we have some fishermen in here, and God, he casts the net, and the net does not discriminate. Amen. It catches all kind, and some of us in the church, some of us, we pick people that we're going to talk to about the kingdom. God said talk to everybody. Amen. Amen. And see, in this particular parable, he says, in the Lord's church, you have tares, and if you know anything about farming, sometimes when you're planting, you have the seeds and they sprout up a little bit. You can't hardly tell one from another. You know, the wheat look like the tares, but in the church there will be all kinds. Yeah. See, the church is different than your job. You know, job, they interview you, and if you don't meet the right specifications and qualifications, and if you don't look right, they can say, no, we're not going to hire you. God don't do that. Amen. In the church, in the kingdom, that's the see. In the kingdom, ought to not be just one demographic of people in one church. Yeah. See, and I thank God. I thank God that this church, we're not a perfect church, but we have all kinds. We do. And that, isn't that good?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why God wants it. God don't want all rich people in his church. Amen. Somebody know you might want them. No, God wants every kind in his church. And as good as like that, don't you wish that we were more multi-ethnic in the church? I know we're here in Fifth Ward, and we have to go the demographics, but when it one now listen, we have the medical center that's right down our street. We have now they built condominiums all down on the other side of the highway. We have blacks, we have Spanish. We need to get busy, don't you think? We need to make this look a little bit more rainbowish, don't you think? Yes, in the Lord's church, in the kingdom. He's cast the net, and there should be everybody in the net. And it's good that Brother Ray Wilkerson can speak Spanish and teach Spanish, and we have a Spanish class, so we have members who can learn Spanish, and the Spanish can learn English. That's good in the kingdom. That ought to make God smile to see that in the kingdom. Yes, don't you think? Yes, but there's good and bad in the church too now. And the Bible said that. Brother Gary didn't say that. See, you also have to be aware that in the church, everything's not going to be perfect. See, some folks fall out of the church. Out those soils, some people get caught up in the cares of the world. Some people, the devil chokes out of the church. Sometimes we run across somebody in the church who's shaky. Some people don't come to church for church. Right. Amen, somebody? We got all kind of things going, especially church this size. You got folks making deals and looking to see who they can network with and hook up with on the down low. Brother Gary, no, not in the church. Hello, somebody. Every now and then I like to preach on this because I like to, you know, when you turn the lights on, I'm not calling nobody no roach. But when you turn the lights on, it makes them run. And I see, if you're not one, don't worry about it. Just turn the lights on. Amen. But in the church house, though, we have to be aware that there are good and bad. I think God loves everybody. And some of us are so sweet and nice. But you got to understand in the kingdom what God is doing. Now, God, even those who are, God, you see in a minute, let me get to my passage. Let me get to my passage. I want you to see, there are eight parables in here. And it makes the point they're good and bad. And the next two parables, they show that the church started small. It's the mustard seed. And the leaven parables, the mustard seed was the smallest seed, but it grew and it blessed. The tree blessed birds from all over. And it shows that the church started small, but it was to spread all over, literally all over the world. And the next two parables, they show that whoever will receive salvation, that's the parable of the treasure hid in the field and the parable of the pearl of great price. They show that whoever will receive salvation from this gospel of the kingdom, that they must give up, they must quit all. They must serve God wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. If they want this, if they find this great pearl, you ought to hold on to it and don't give it up for nothing and nobody. Jesus makes this bold statement. He says, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Some people don't understand that passage. All Jesus is saying, listen here, don't let mama, you love mom and dad. He's not telling us to hate mom and daddy, but he's telling us, listen, even your mother and your father, if they don't want to follow me, you don't follow them, you follow me. And notice this, and some of us don't notice, some of us just grew up in families within the church, some of us don't notice, but there are some individuals who worship here at this church right now. They're the only members of the church in their family, and their people don't like it.
Yeah.
And Jesus tells us in his parable, he says, if you give up all for me, you will not lose your reward. Ooh, glory, hallelujah. Somebody need to hear that. Some of us might not need to hear that, but somebody need to hear that this morning. Oh, have mercy. All these parables. The last parable he talks about is really toward the scribes, the teachers, and letting them know the great benefit that they have, this vessel that they have, that if you teach it and preach it to people, it'll bless people. It'll bless ones. Go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 37, and I'm going to summarize this. And the brother read in your hearing, it focused on this parable on the tares. And this is the interpretation of that parable that Jesus interprets. His apostles, his disciples came to him and asked him to explain what he was talking about. And he said, Jesus said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Now, that's what Jesus says. He says, the one who sows the good seed in the parable of the tares. Let's see, go back to verse 24. Some of you don't know what the parable of the tares is. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared or is likened to a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares came evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Then how does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The slave said to him, do you want us to then go and gather them up? But he said, no, for while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. That is the parable of the tares. Now, when Jesus told that story, most of the people probably didn't know what he was talking about. But he has it in his written word, and then his apostles go to him and ask him for an explanation. And here is the explanation. Go back up to verse number 37. And he said to him, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Amen. Now, the scriptures call Jesus Son of Man and Son of God. as the scriptures refers to him, is Son of Man and Son of God. And I'm glad I didn't fully understand it for a long time, you know, but I understand it. But thank God we serve a Savior who can relate to us. Amen. Yeah, yeah, who's not just dictating to us from heaven. He's been tempted in all points, like as we have been tempted. He's been tried. And you remember when Apostle Paul, when he was talking to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15 and 42, see, because we have the two elements about us. He says in the resurrection, our bodies, our physical bodies will be sown in corruption. In other words, they will be planted in corruption. You ever been to a funeral before and you go down and you see this body laying up here and they try to make it look good, but it looks okay, but it's still not the same. It's not living. He says, when we die, our bodies will be sown in corruption, but they will be raised in corruption. It's a different body. Now, Jesus came to this earth. He was the Son of Man, but he is the Son of God. He's divine. It says, it will be sown in dishonor, but it will be raised in glory. Now, just saying the difference. He says, now, Jesus, you remember when Jesus was on the cross and he was suffering and all of he was wounded and he was bleeding and they pierced his side and he bled. And Jesus was on that cross dying and experiencing this excruciating pain. But when Jesus comes back, he's not coming back with stab wounds in him.
Amen.
Yeah, he's coming back in glory.
Yes.
Yes. And every eye shall see him, every eye shall behold him, and we will know without a doubt those who even think they doubt. They will call him the Son of God. Yes, and so it was sown. I believe he said it was sown in weakness, but it will be raised in power. Yeah, and you know, when we die, the Bible said we're going to get some new bodies. When at the resurrection, we'll get new bodies. And Jesus was the Son of Man. It says the good seed is the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. In other words, make no doubt about it. Jesus sows this seed for everybody to get it. That's the point we're making this morning. And I don't care who you are, if you're hearing right now and you're listening right now, the seed is being planted by the Word of God. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The seed, Jesus is just planting seeds everywhere he went, everywhere he, on the street, he just talked to people. He wanted everybody to be saved. Yeah. Now, you see, don't you think that's good?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, see, and we can learn something from Jesus. He sowed the seed wherever he went. Now, notice, here at the Fieldwater Church, I asked Brother Barry, you here? Brother DeRoe, you here? This is the end of the first quarter. This is the last month in the first quarter. January, February, March. Well, doesn't time fly? Don't stand still. Yeah. You remember those goals we made at the beginning of the year? You still got them on your mirror? You better get busy. March 29th. We've added to the body of Christ here, Fifth Ward, to date, those who've been placed membership and those who've been baptized. You know how many, Brother Barry? 32 individuals have been added, baptized and placed membership. 32 in the first quarter. 32. We're trying diligently to minister to everybody in the church. But I think you've heard me say this before. We have baptized over the past really 6-7 years. And added to this church with baptisms and people that's placed membership, about 150, you know, on average. So if you say 150 times 5, that's what mathematicians, 750? 750. Now, our average weekly attendance is about 900 average. Sometimes we'll go under, sometimes we'll go over. But it's about 900, you know, and like today we'll have over 1,000 people, including the kids in Bible Hour. But if we added 750 to our numbers, and if we kept everybody, if we kept them all, which in the city of Houston that would be probably doable because we're transitory. We have a lot of people that's moving in, moving out. We understand that, but well, don't you think we should at least keep half the folk? Half, and that, so that, let's say that's 375 added on to 900. We in 10 years, if we average 150, I'm not, listen, this God adds those to the church. Those, we're not trying to brag and say these are the numbers, but if we keep up, if we minister to people, and if we ought to be able to keep these folk in the Lord's kingdom. So I ask the question, what kind of soil we are. Things happen. Tragedies happen. But we're more conscientious of those who, if you are here this morning and you've been either baptized or placed membership, we're not putting you on the spot. You don't have to say anything. But if you don't mind, would you stand? Would you stand for a second? Would you stand? If you've been baptized this year in 2015, you've been baptized or you placed membership, would you stand? If you've been baptized or you placed membership, thank you. Stand for. Thank you. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to see. And I know when we do, well, just one second. When we do one service, the times, you know, sometimes, you know, some everybody don't catch it. Have you baptized or you placed membership? Okay. Everybody look around. This is good so the church can know. We all can know each other. Amen. We can minister to each other. Don't be saying, well, I don't know who that is. Well, you see their faces right now. We have their names that we run across the screen at the end. And we'll make sure our members, our sisters, they cut up yesterday. They had a fellowship yesterday. Didn't sisters have a good fellowship yesterday? Praise the Lord. And we do those things that we can minister to each other. That we can see after each other. Now, everybody look around. Now, I'm not going to ask them all their names, but some of you, some of our mature saints, get a picture. Remember who these saints are. Now, let me count. I got to count. I got to do this, Brother Bear. I didn't ask Brother Bear to do this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Now, we added 31, right? 31. Now, some may be working, can't come in the morning. I know that work and can't come in the morning. And some may not stand. I know, we understand. And some may not. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much for standing. And everybody say, let's say something to our family. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. That's our family. It's like. Now, another thing that's happening here at the Fieldwater Church, we're having a baby explosion. We got babies everywhere. Is that good?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's good. And as we minister, as we plan, as we do our parts in the kingdom, we're in the people. Souls. Is there anybody here who's not important? Is there anybody who here who don't have a soul? And we have to, when we're thinking, he says in the kingdom, he sowed the seed, and the field is the world. Jesus, he doesn't discriminate. He wants everybody there. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. Now, he uses the term sons and daughters, those that are these are those who heard the word. You remember the parable of the sower? Who heard the word, it produced good fruit. These are those who attend Bible class, those who minister, those who are involved in ministry, those who not perfect, but they're striving. Those who have in their mind on Sunday mornings, I'm going to be with God's people. On Sunday nights, I'm trying to hear the word. I'm coming to Bible class. I'm studying. I'm trying to find ways that I can reach out and be a part of outreach and trying to reach others for Jesus Christ. He said, now notice, God calls them the good seeds. I got a question. I got to ask this mental question. Didn't I ask this question? What kind of soul? What kind of seed am I? Yeah, make it personal. You know, there's some things only we can answer. But don't call me. Well, yeah, you shouldn't be saying. I'm reading out of the Word of God. God knows good seed from bad seed. And I'm not saying I do know this, that a person that's bad seed can change to good seed, thank the Lord. As long as there's still blood running, there's still life running through him. Notice what the scriptures say. And notice, the good seed are the sons of the king, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. Now notice this. Let me read a little bit further. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Notice. And the enemy who sold them is the devil. Now, notice, Jesus, the Son of Man, sows the good seed. Jesus says, God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should never perish, should not perish, but have everlasting life. He offers this invitation to everybody, whosoever will, let him come. That's Jesus. The devil also has an invitation. And what's amazing to me, it seems like the devil, he wants some of his folk in the kingdom to mix around with the good seed in the kingdom. I don't want to say, I hate to say this, but I need to say this for the good seed in here. This is the word for the good seed. Yeah. Well, Gary, why are you not talking to everybody? Check yourself now. Check yourself. Check yourself. Because if you get mad that I say that, you just identified who you might be. And so this is for the good seed. Everybody's in the church don't mean you well. And you have seed in the church who would deter you, who would keep you, who would discourage you, even in the Lord's church. But Jesus, this is why I love God. I love Jesus. I love him more and more every day. Because I know if I was Jesus, if I was God, the evil tares wouldn't be here this morning. You know, somebody come in here knowing they got devilment on their mind. I'm telling you, because if you get hold of one of our children, see, I be thinking, you know, you got some people, you know, they recruiting folks. And boy, I mean, like you get one of our children, and you do something to one of our children, boy, I'll be throwing lightning bolts, get him out of here. But listen how God is. See, and that's why we can't play God. We don't know what people's background is. We don't know where they come from. See, some of us have been privileged to the point where we haven't been exposed to a lot. If we would have been put in some of the situation that some of these tares have been, we might be a tare too. And God knows all. He knows all circumstances. And so he gives us time. He wants the tares to hear this message even this day. If they hear it today, it might change somebody. Amen. And when we write folks off, God is merciful to people. Yes. And even this day, those somebody who might had something on their minds that's not of God, this word may penetrate their hearts and make them come to Jesus Christ even this day. Is God good or what?
Yes,
God is a good God.
Yes,
yeah, and you know how we are. Our temples are short. We don't forgive nobody, and we just want to write. We do folks like that on our own family. And you know what? You better check yourself also. He says this so just as the tares are. Notice this. I'm closing. And the harvest is the end of the age. This is reality. And those of you that's teenagers in here, you listen to this. See, we're not on this world footloose, fancy free to do our thing. Some people are going, I'm young. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to do what I want to while I can. That's an empty way to think. Because you are a living soul. You live on this earth for 100 years and it's a speck compared to eternity.
Yes.
And he says, the harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are angels. You remember the reapers? He said, they are the ones who are going to get. They are the angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, Jesus told the reapers to gather the tares. Let them grow. Let them stay in there together. And at the harvest day, we're going to gather all the tares up. And he says, as they will gather out of his kingdom, all stumbling blocks. Now, that lets us know, some of us scholars who are trying to figure out, is the kingdom the church? Is the church the kingdom? In this instance, the kingdom is the church.
Amen.
Before Jesus, God presents this kingdom. For Jesus presents this kingdom to the Father, he's taking everything out of it.
Yeah.
That's tares. He says all stumbling blocks. And so it's like he gives us a chance. Jesus is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. You know, sometimes we think, well, God is hard. God is good. God is merciful. God is long-suffering. God giving us chance after 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 chance. We lied, we cheated, we stole, we snuck out. We did all this chance after chance. We lied, we cheated, we stole, we still doing it. We think it's something bad right now. God giving you a chance because you're still here right now. All those who commit lawlessness, stumbling blocks. And he's going to throw them into the furnace of fire, the scripture says. In that place, there'll be weeping, there'll be gnashing of teeth. I'm trying to get to verse 43. Then the righteous will shine forth. Yeah. See, this is encouragement for those that struggle trying to stay on the straight and narrow. Because it's a struggle. It's a struggle when you a faithful husband, but your wife is not working with you. Matter of fact, she's working against you. But girl, you should say it the other way. No, you're a faithful wife. No, I said the faithful husband first, this time. Amen. I didn't hear nothing from the brothers. Some of the brothers say, bro, Gary, you hard on the brothers. I'm sorry. I was just making up right then. But, you know, we have some folks who's single here in the Lord's church. We have a large, single, powerful, striving. They're trying to go to heaven.
Amen.
Now, when you're single in this world and you've grown, that's a challenge, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, what the singles need, and they need encouragement. They don't need you in the church and trying to entice me to do something not in the church.
Amen.
Help me.
Amen.
Yeah, and see, so yeah, we talking about good seed and we striving, but in harvest time, those that's leaning on folk, he's gonna remove all of that. The righteous will shine forth. And so if you're striving, if you're struggling, but you are striving and you're reaching and you the blood of Jesus is clean, you keep striving, you keep doing what's right, you keep talking what's right. If you're a parent and you're challenged and you're trying to teach your kids what's right, all the other kids want to do what they want to do, you keep doing that. Because the righteous will shine forth, the scripture says. And in the kingdom, they will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears, let him hear, Jesus said. Let me say this now. First Peter chapter 4, verse 17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin with us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? Now, if you're here this morning and you're not in the kingdom, notice, this message, this promise does not apply to you if you're not in the kingdom. Even the parable of the four soils, it is talking to folk who've heard the word and have been baptized into Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus makes a statement. He says, he who rejected my words, listen, has not rejected me, but has rejected my Father. And so, first of all, you have to accept the word of God to get you in the kingdom of God. Amen. And that word comes by faith. And if you're here today and you have enough faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, if you are willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell your neighbor, except unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. If you are willing to confess Christ with your mouth, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven, Matthew 10, 32. If you are willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Mark 16, 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. God adds you to his church, which is part of the kingdom of God, Acts 2, 47. You are in the kingdom, and you stay in this kingdom and you keep striving to live for God until the day that you die or God calls us to glory. Amen. And in this kingdom, all of these wonderful promises are. And I know sometimes we want to hear lessons on how I can have a better relationship on my job, and that's good. And how I can have a better relationship at home, and that's good, because all of that is taught in kingdom teaching. Jesus taught all of that in the kingdom. Amen. But I want to encourage the church this morning that I don't care what you are going through in your life, whether you're a young person, whether you have now 80 years old and you are getting close to the end of your horizons, whether you are in middle age and now you're having midlife crisis, and see now, some lessons I heard when I was young. You hear them, but you didn't hear them. Yeah. And you just keep getting older. My dad used to say, "Son, just keep on living." And now some of them just ring back at me now. I was a time I didn't know what midlife crisis was, but now I'm in. I'm in the midlife now. Yeah. And I understand a little better what the midlife crisis is. See, you're in the middle. You're not young as you were. You can't do what you used to do. And then you're looking down the road and say, well, I'm not 75 years old. And then you look back and say, what do I do? What am I going to do? And then you're trying to figure out, are you still important? And you a lot of things go on. If you don't look out, you lose your way.
Oh, yes.
Help us, Lord. And especially if you're a young person. Stand up for just a second. If you are 20 years old or less, stand up for a second. You know, Brother Gary. Come on. 20 or less. Come on, everybody is 20 or less. Now, church, don't you think we need to pray for them?
Amen.
Now, let me say this. Because, see, reason why I'm doing this is because you are so impressionable at this time. Some of you come to church, you know, with your parents. Some of you, you come because somebody make you come. And we understand that. Hey, I did too. I was in your boat one time. My parents came, I had to go. If it was my choice some of those mornings. Now, I'm not asking, don't you nod your head because you might get in trouble for doing that. But can I say something to you from the heart? I say something to you from the heart. The wisest man who ever lived on this earth, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he said this. He said, to remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Now, there's another passage that I didn't fully understand when I was your age. Because see, a lot of things that you're experiencing right now, they form habits. And see, some of us is older now, some things that we still struggle with right now is because we dabble with them when we were your age. And I can truly say this. There were times that I didn't want to come to church when I was young. And I grew up, and for those of you who don't know, I grew up coming to Bible class. I grew up coming to church. I almost lost my way when I was between college, the college age. I almost lost my way. But I had a foundation. I had some people, some teachers who instilled in me, son Gary, you stay with God. God's way is the best way. His teachings are, you will be blessed. And that stuff just rang in my head. Even when I was out there doing some stuff I shouldn't have been doing, I just kept hearing that over and again. And Lord blessed me to live long enough to see that it was true. And I went through my struggling time, but I'm in the law, I'm in the kingdom to stay. Amen. And I want you to hear. There were enough people there were folk in the church that made you kind of want to leave the church. I'm just telling you the truth. There are people who are in the church. That's why I mentioned about the tares and the tares and the good seeds. See, in the church, there are folk who make you don't want to come to church. There are people that's called hypocrites. They will say something. They will act like they love the Lord, but they are. Be careful. Okay. I'm saying that because I don't want you to fall out. Because when you see somebody like that, and the truth is, I need to tell all the adults to close your ears for a second. But I know you're not gonna close and you're gonna be nosing and try to hear what I have to say. But I'm saying this in love, nothing but love. Please, do you know I'm saying it in love? Yeah. Don't throw tomatoes at me when I say this. Young ones, sometimes tares are in our own family. But even when they're in your family, read your Bible. Stay with God. Because, see, listen, even when they're in the family, sometimes they don't necessarily want to be. They're struggling. They can't overcome. And so I hope 20 years from now, all of you young people that's here right now, we don't lose you. You're not lost. Thank you so much for standing up. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, first of all, you need to be in the kingdom. That's where all the blessings are. It's called the kingdom of God, the house of God, the church of God, the church of Christ, Romans 16:16. In the scriptures that say that there's one body, one spirit, even as you're calling, one opiate calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians 4:4-5. Listen, that's one church. God's intention. God has the whole world is his kingdom. Amen. But when it comes to the church, he has one kingdom.
Amen.
And let me read this last passage to you. Last passage to you. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. Then comes the end. When he hands over the kingdom to God, the Father. Now notice. So, Brother Gary, what if I'm not in the kingdom? You know the answer to that. You don't get handed over. And so if you're here this morning, you want to be in his kingdom, won't you come to the Lord today? If you hear you need prayer, won't you come? If you hear you need to get something right, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? You washed in the blood of the Lamb, and are you fully trusting in His grace? This time, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, and are you washed?
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood, in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Yes, and
are your garments
finally soggy
white
as snow? And
are you washed
in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, and are you walking daily by the Savior's side?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Do you rest each moment
in the crucified?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Somebody else come to Jesus today.
Are you washed?
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Well, then,
are your garments
spotless
or the whitest?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white
in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be
ready for the man? Shines bright,
are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
In blood of the Lamb.
Oh,
are your garments spotless?
Are they white as snow?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin
and be washed in the blood of the Lamb.